Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Thus it is written, and this is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus it is written, even though the devil himself seems to have memorized these verses and quotes them in part, rather misquotes them, and tries to misapply them. Nevertheless, thus it is written, and this is the word of the Lord. But as my pastor back in high school, Pastor Jonathan Grothy, warned me once, when Satan tries to misuse a verse of the Bible, we ought to watch out, because others may try to do the same. This took place, this warning, in the midst of what I call the great Psalm 91 craze. You may not remember this. This was one of those fads that seemed to work its way around the evangelical churches in Southern California. When I was in high school, these fads would come and go. I hung out with a group of Christian friends and acquaintances at school. In this group, there was one Lutheran, me, one Roman Catholic, my best friend. Everybody else was Baptist, Pentecostal, dispensationalist, holiness, non-denominational. But we all got swept up in the great Psalm 91 craze. According to this fad, Psalm 91 was not only the most important of 150 Psalms, it was the scripture par excellence to which every Christian should go to find the full benefits of God's divine power, protection, and blessing. Of course, the thing was this. To enjoy those benefits, it wasn't enough simply to believe in the one true God. Each and every day, you had to declare this psalm for yourself and make it your own. You had to take ownership of the psalm. And if you did that, then you would be guaranteed that nothing bad would happen to you. If you truly believed nothing bad could happen to you, well, for the rest of the day. It had to be a daily affirmation to keep the power going from day to day. And in fact, some of my friends in this group took to actually writing down Psalm 91 and then keeping it in their pocket so that they would have that protection with them wherever they went. Well, now, the rest of us weren't so silly to think that we could do sort of, some magic to have the Christian rabbit's foot to protect us. It was simply enough that we would wake up, read the psalm, affirm it for ourselves, and thus be guaranteed of God's divine protection for the rest of the day. Of course, there is a little more to this. I remember getting swept up in that seemingly wonderful Psalm 91 craze feeling. For there was a certain self-satisfied, superior, and even arrogant feeling that went along with this. Because this was the thing that was pointed out by one of the youth ministers at one of these non-denominational churches. Not every Christian was a Psalm 91 Christian. Only certain Christians were Psalm 91 Christians. Those of us who actually had the wisdom to take ownership of the psalm and declare it for ourselves each and every day. Only we were guaranteed to have this divine power and protection on our side. And all you other Christians, all you regular Christians, you couldn't count on it. In fact, this one youth leader at this one church had said that the whole Christendom was divided up between two groups of Christians. You had the Psalm 23 Christians, all you regular Christians. That was your favorite psalm. You were uninformed. And us Psalm 91 Christians, we had the true power and protection on our side. You see, you Psalm 23 Christians, you had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You had to go through because you're wimpy. Us Psalm 91 Christians, we could stand fast in the valley of the shadow of death and laugh death in the face. Because we knew something that you didn't know, and we had that power to protect us. In fact, one of my buddies said that if I were ever a superhero, I would be Psalm 91 man. Armed with this psalm, I could stand fast against death and destruction. We thought that was really cool, and so we used to think, yes, we're the Psalm 91 Christians. I am Psalm 91 man. When the dreaded nuclear holocaust came, just to sort of date when this was all going on, I could stand at ground zero and the bombs could drop at me and they wouldn't hurt me. I'm Psalm 91 man. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it would not touch me. I would simply observe with my eyes and see the reward of the wicked. Well, according to our view, though, sorry, but all you Psalm 23 Christians, you get blown away too. Yes, you go to heaven, but because you did not see this obvious promise standing there staring you straight in the face, you could not take ownership of these temporal blessings reserved for us Psalm 91 men. Well, so the craze went, but unlike other fads, this one didn't simply fade away. One day it crashed and burned. I can remember this. We were gathered at a devotion on high school, and this one boy from that one church with that one youth minister said that that youth minister said that if you're a Psalm 91 Christian, persecution cannot touch you. He said, yeah, persecution would come, but if you're a Psalm 91 Christian, it can't touch you, it can't hurt you, it can't kill you. And it was actually the imagery that was used that shocked most of us back into our common senses. He used the image of someone throwing rocks at you, and if you're a Psalm 91 Christian, those rocks simply bounce right off of you. And when he said that, suddenly I felt myself cut to the heart, and I sort of went back and I looked wide-eyed. My Roman Catholic buddy was wide-eyed, and some of us were looking at each other, and we suddenly realized that we were all thinking the same thing. And together we uttered one word, the name of one individual. Together we said the name Stephen. Stephen was killed. The stones didn't bounce off of him. Did he fail to have faith? Was he not a Psalm 91 Christian? And then with that, everything about this craze was suddenly, well, we knew it was wrong. And I remember we were talking, saying, we don't get this at all, do we? And it was about this time that later, rather than sooner, I had that conversation with my pastor. He actually took a Bible study to talk about Psalm 91, and we read the temptation account in Matthew chapter 4. And my conversation continued with him after Bible study and then later after church. Because in the wake of the Psalm 91 craze, I was demoralized. I didn't know if I could trust these words of God or if I could even trust myself to trust them. I was convinced that either some mighty promises were made that God never intended to keep, or, more troubling, they didn't apply to me. Because I know deep down inside, I wasn't Psalm 91, man. There was that part of me that knew I really didn't believe these wonderful, unbelievable promises. So Pastor Grothy, he worked with us. We read Psalm 91, and he said, yes, indeed, this is a wonderful promise, a wonderful prayer of the protection and refuge that the faithful have in their Lord. But he put it into that Old Testament context. He said, this applies to those who are walking in the ways of Yahweh. It doesn't apply to those who aren't. And well, then, if you're not walking in the ways of Yahweh, perhaps you'd better repent. And he said that in our New Testament context, Jesus says persecution's going to come, and we can't use Psalm 91 as our get-out-of-persecution-free card. But I remember pressing him on Jesus. Suddenly I was angry how Jesus handled that second temptation. You know, if Psalm 91 was true, I felt, then he should have jumped off the pinnacle. Not to prove anything to Satan or himself, but to prove something to me. Because I wanted to know if all this faith stuff really worked. It seemed that Jesus really wasn't that bold. And my pastor, of course, pointed out some of the obvious things. Bolder than you think, after all, wasn't he there in the wilderness being tempted? Wouldn't he carry out his ministry in spite of growing unbelief and opposition? Wouldn't Jesus go to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen to him? Wouldn't he get crucified knowing that that was going to happen? And yet, when he faced those same temptations on the cross to come down and save himself, he wouldn't do anything. He would just hang there. And it was actually with great relief that I realized that the good news that day was that I was not the hero of the story. God himself had provided the hero, his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that it was Jesus who was Psalm 91 man. Remember how our gospel lesson this Sunday ends after the temptations? The angels come. They do minister to him. Psalm 91. Remember how the whole story ends through the Sunday of the Passion, through Good Friday, on Easter. God is faithful. He raises his Son from the dead. And in this, God was faithful to Israel. In all of this, Jesus saves his people from their sins. And that is what you are. Those of you who have been baptized in the name of the Triune God, you are his people, and he has saved you. Jesus trusted his Father. The Father was faithful. The Father was faithful to his Son. The Father has been faithful to you, and you are his people. Yes, this doesn't mean that persecution won't come, and that indeed it may certainly touch us, hurt us, even kill us. Yet we follow the crucified and risen Lord. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And it's now in connection with Jesus that we lay hold of this wonderful psalm, and that we now as his people pray this psalm for ourselves. Psalm 91. It's in the shadow of the Almighty that we find refuge, that we find rest. The Almighty, our Father, in Jesus Christ. You have been saved and called to be his disciples. You have been taught by him. And so now, this psalm is your psalm in Jesus. So now that wonderful last verse applies to you. With long life, he will satisfy you. Yes, with eternal life, he will satisfy you. And he will show you his salvation. Thanks be to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.